It's like, well, why offer recruitment to other people when you can put your great team to work for yourself and get a much more massive ROI? And you're exactly right. So by, you know, I was going to recruit people out, but that was just going to bring enormous pain for me for little reward. So no, I do not offer people to other companies.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one as well.
Yeah.
I also had the same thing.
This is Super Fast Business with James Schranko.
James Schranko.
Helping you build your business super fast.
I'm James Schranko, and today I've got an inspiring guest who is a member of my coaching community I've known for, I guess, probably a little over a year. And my guest today is from Australia also, Clint Ma. Welcome, Clint.
Hey, James. How are you, mate?
Good. You're on the other side of the country, just for our overseas listeners.
Yeah, mate.
Our country's about the same size as the United States, and it's like we're in New York and Los Angeles here. So we came together because you arrived into our community, our Superfast Results community. And when you came to our community, you had already been doing some internet marketing and been quite successful in a few areas of it. But what I've seen over the last year is a massive transformation in your business, and probably more importantly, your approach to your internet marketing business. So what I'd like to do for listeners today is sort of deconstruct some of the things that have happened along the way and some of the realizations, I guess, that you've learned through, I think we did about a year's worth of Silver Circle masterminding together. So we've been in contact almost every week for a year, and it's amazing to see where you've taken this business. Perhaps you could just give us a little insight as to what sort of business you're working in now and some of the, I guess, some of the transformation, just to put some perspective on this.
I guess let's go back a bit to where I started. Let's go back to where I came into the forum, probably December 2009, and I had quite a successful affiliate business, but it was running on a one-legged horse. And pretty much as soon as I got into the forum, Google, in all its wisdom, decided to cut off my only leg of that horse. So, yeah, I was back to square one again, and that's when I would have entered the Silver Circle. From the Silver Circle, I think pretty much my first week there, I would have discussed how I was going to try a new business model. And that business model was with the offline consulting and selling SEO services and web development services to local businesses. So that's where I probably would have, you would have first heard about me from, was in there. And it was a whole evolution for me, because I had the skills, I knew everything that I had to do, so it was easy for me to go out and sell these skills to an online business.
You're talking about internet marketing knowledge there, right?
Yeah, internet marketing knowledge. So,
you knew what a blog was, and you knew about articles and backlinks and traffic and conversions. And from memory, and we're talking about approximately 1 year ago, that was when you decided, I'll take these skills and I'll apply them to the traditional business market and help them with their internet marketing stuff.
Yeah, that's right. So I had all these skills. I knew how I could sell products around the globe. So coming back on a local market, especially in Perth, it was just going to be very, very simple for me, and to be able to give these skills to these local businesses, and, you know, to get them ranking up in Google, which, you know, it's very easy for me to be able to do that, to get them ranked, you know, page one, number one, whatever. So, I did that. But the reason I did it was, I was trying to do my internet marketing all by myself back at the time as a one-man army, and that, you know, you can't really do that anymore. So when I started to go and help the local businesses, that's when I started to grow a team of people, firstly outsourcing and then creating my own team to be able to go and do these things for other people.
So how was that transformation going from one-man band to building an actual business, you must have had some challenges there in that transition period. I know I certainly did when I actually went from running a business to being a standalone person back to growing my own business. So I had that little dip in the middle where I was doing everything, and I understand why you said that that's not the way you are able to do it anymore. I agree with you on that.
Yeah.
What sort of things will people encounter as they go from standalone to building out their own business?
Well, firstly, let me say, try and do everything for yourself. If you're that sort of person, then it's rare that you'll be a success, because I tried to do every single thing myself, and that's making the graphics, building backlinks, writing the articles, posting the articles, syndicating the articles. You know, you've only got 24 hours in a day, and, you know, you're going to cap yourself, which I found out later on, which I'll get to. But building the team, my biggest obstacles was finding the right team members with the right culture. So after about 3 or 4 months of trying various different places on the internet, like Odesk and there's a couple of other places, Freelancer and that, I was getting people that were only there just to make some quick money. They weren't interested in coming to join a growing company and to help me in my endeavours. So there was, as I said, a few months of not very much productivity, but what those 3 months taught me was what not to do. So once I knew what not to do, then I knew I had to try something different, and that's what I then did. That's when I went and sat down, wrote down exactly the sort of people that I need and a bit of a structure on how I wanted to build a team over there. And the most important part of it was the first person that we employed, because that person, they were going to be our manager, if you will, in the Philippines, because that's where my team is based. They were going to be the manager and the recruitment agency for my company, and that's exactly what's happened.
And do you offer recruitment services to other companies or just your own?
I went down the path of starting to offer it to other people, and then it was actually you who talked me out of it. It's like, well, why offer recruitment to other people when you can put your great team to work for yourself and get a much more massive ROI? And you're exactly right. So I was going to recruit people out, but that was just going to bring enormous pain for me for little reward. So no, I do not offer people to other companies.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one as well.
Yeah.
I also had the same thing. It's amazing the parallels here, but my first person in the Philippines was very, very talented and great team leader, and was able to help build the team. So I guess really one of the key points so far is, it's if you're going to build a proper business and get the help you need to build it, eventually you want to look at building your own team, and usually you want to make sure that first person you find is good. I know people will be thinking, Clint, where did you find that first person?
The first person who grew my company?
Yeah.
I actually found them on Odesk, and I didn't want to go to Odesk, but I went to Odesk, but with a very large set of filters, and the way that I filtered it was actually picked up most of these tips in the Super Fast Results Forum from people like Kyle and a few other guys who had done it. And I've filtered so well down in the people that I interviewed that the person that we ended up going with, we just knew before we took her on that she would do well. And she has gone above and beyond expectations 100-fold. She's been that invaluable to our company.
And it seems that it's gone quite well from that point. So we're now talking about 9 months ago probably that you've brought this person on and developed your business. So I noticed recently you had a new milestone, a successful month. Do you want to just sort of talk us through where the business is at now in terms of how your business is going? And really, this is for a point. I want to see where you can go in just 1 year from having a vision and deciding on a model to 1 year down the track. What sort of things are happening now?
All right, sure. So I guess you're talking about last month I had my first six-figure month, which was good because before that we were capped at a lot less than six figures, but that was because we were trying to do everything ourselves and to we actually lost track of where we were heading with the business. So when we started the business, we had goals, and those goals was to go and get clients, really good clients, look after them and let the money that those clients, as it was coming in the door, to go and feed our Make Money While We Sleep projects. Now, as you know, James, I got sidetracked and went into complete service provider mode. And when you go into service provider mode and don't look after yourself, you sort of cap your salary because there's only so many hours of the day that you can look after clients, and there's only so many clients, premium clients, that you can have in the door. So about 4 months ago, I guess, and I've made no secret of this, we had a bit of a mini crisis within our company because we realised if we kept doing what we were doing, we were always going to be capped at where we were. So we had to go and have a think about what things we could be doing differently and how we could do that with what we were existingly doing, or what we were already doing, I should say. So instead of dropping everything and starting again, because I've been down that path before and it's ugly, all we did was say, well, okay, with what we have now, what can we do differently to maximise our returns and to get to where we actually want to go? And that's what we did. And very quickly, dividends paid off for us. And they're paying off even more and more now every day.
Yeah, it's such a crucial point. And it's a great teaching from Eli Goldratt in the Theory of Constraints. One of the key points is identify resources and assets that are just sitting around idle and utilize those. So what you've done is reconfigure the assets and resources that you already had to take a different approach. Now, tell me, I know at one point you made an investment in time and energy and then money to sort of start getting some platforms in the business to help you manage the workflow and the capacity, things like billing software and staff/CRM management tools.
Yep.
How important would you say that was in the change in growth?
Critical, absolutely critical. Firstly, we were using Basecamp, which you and most of your listeners are well familiar with. That was good to a point on managing projects or managing tasks within a team environment. Something that was hurting us was clients paying us because we were doing the manual invoicing, and then if they hadn't paid on day, we were on the phone trying to extract money out of them. And that's a very painful situation to be in. If you need money and your clients aren't paying, it hurts. It gets emotionally involved. So what we did, we brought in FreshBooks, which most of you probably have heard of. So that just made everything autopilot. And as soon as we started using FreshBooks, all our invoices were paid on time because the system took care of it. Another system we've started using a few months ago was another platform. It's called WorkEtc. I don't know if you are familiar with it. It's a little bit more advanced than Basecamp, just because it offers different tools for different reasons. Since we got our head around that, I don't even actually use WorkEtc. I don't have a login for it, but my team use it, and that was crucial for me to not be working in my systems. I wanted to set the systems up to run smoothly and like a well-oiled machine. But it was important that I did not want to have anything to do with operating a system once it was up and running, unless there was a problem and then I could be brought in. And the reason I say that is not because I'm lazy. Well, I am quite lazy, but it's not because of that. It's because it leaves me free to go and look for other ideas and new opportunities. So that if you want to grow, you need to be looking for new ideas and opportunity and not working in your business like a lot of people I know do, in online and offline, I've got to say.
Yeah, I think it's pretty common. Now, a couple of questions that sort of raises for our listeners. When you have a platform that your team are using and you're not necessarily hands-on, how do you determine what sort of control they have over the business and what sort of things you control? Are there delineation points? Is there software you're using to track your employees, or is it a trust system? Do you have mechanisms in place? I think these are good questions to ask because I get asked these a lot too.
Yeah, sure. There's mechanisms in place. The team members, they'll never be able to access like the money side of things, so they'll never have logins to shopping carts. Or if they do have a login to a shopping cart, it will only be for customer details. They'll never be able to access the financials. Or the merchant facilities, anything like that. Domains, I keep my staff out of domains, and that's purely just in case something was to go wrong. Then there's no way that blame could be allocated anywhere except for myself or the integrity of my domain registry. What was the other part of the question you asked there?
How do you monitor activity? Do you have activity monitoring things or checkpoints so that you know that your team are doing the right things? Because you're not actually hands-on logged in every day. So how do you actually know what's happening in the business? You got a reporting system?
Quite simple. Those things or those features are in the software that we use. But as all I work on personally is for results. I put work in and work is spat out very quickly. That's probably not the answer you wanted to hear.
No, it's not about me. It's about you and your system today, which is great because everyone has a different approach. But the reason I wanted to talk to you today is because there's so many people in the internet marketing space who are talking to customers.
Yeah.
And we get a lot of questions around this in our coaching community and on my blogs and my podcasts. It's really this mental leap between sitting there by yourself with a handful of customers to growing a business where you have a six-figure monthly sales volume.
Well, I'll tell you why it works so well for me, and you won't hear this off many other people. It's because of the culture that I instill in amongst my team. And you know, when I say the culture, I treat these people like I treat myself. I look after them so well. I don't treat them like, I don't yell at them. I don't scream at them. I treat these people with the utmost respect, pay them really good wages, give them holidays, give them presents, send them out on team nights. Because in the Philippines, they want to belong. People want to belong to something. And when you make people belong to something and you've got a really fun culture within your company, then people will be lining up to come and work with you. And that's exactly what we have found. We're getting inquiries all the time from Filipinos in certain cities because word has got out exactly how fun it is to work with our company. And the results speak for themselves. So Where I got that idea is like Richard Branson, he does that. Mind you, he pays his people less than normal, but he makes his workplace extremely fun. So I've done that, and the results that we get, they just speak for themselves.
Great. So I also agree on culture is absolutely critical. Tell me something that I think will interest people is when you are building out your team, how do you – what's the mental process behind this expense? Because obviously it costs money to hire people. It costs money to get these tools and platforms. How do you justify that, and do that mental reconciliation? Because I think a lot of these small entrepreneurs are always thinking, oh, that's going to be expensive. That's going to cost money. And that sort of, I think that stops people growing. How did you overcome that?
Look, the first 6 months of having it, probably a bit less than that, the first 4 months, been about 8 staff members on board. I did at the expense of my own pay. So I was pretty much on a shoestring for my own personal living expenses, because I wanted to build this team up, and that's what I did. So I built the team up, so there was that short-term pain there of not having much for myself, but building them up. But then once I had the team and they were all working with each other and they were all working well and there was a chain of command and a hierarchy over there, then I could put them to good use, and that's exactly what I did. So, yes, there was initial pain, but then it's the pleasure to come out of that has been a thousandfold.
Right. So you've reinvested early profits back into the business and bootlegged it without external investment from anyone else.
Yes, yep, absolutely.
Also, I wonder if you could talk just briefly on partnerships. That's interesting to me, and I'm sure to others. Have you found it a good idea to go out and partner, or would you suggest people consider certain things if they're going to do that? Because I believe there at one stage you sort of brought the business together with other people. How does that work out?
For me, it has worked out exceptionally well. There were a couple of times early in the piece, you know, where it could have gone either way, but we worked around the things. So I've got no problems having partnerships as long as you know the person on a business level, and so money has exchanged hands before you go into business, so you know what they're like on that in that way. There are certain things you could do by yourself, but for me, I can work with someone whose skill set complements mine. So where my strengths are, they might have a weakness, and where their strengths are, I might have a weakness. Did I just say that twice?
No, I think that's fine.
You know what I mean. So yeah,
I do. I think the key point here that I want people to get across is that if you can concentrate on your strengths, you might build your business faster than if you're trying to compensate for your weaknesses, you know, trying to do them yourself.
And James, that's why for years I could only ever get so far, because I was trying to do everything. I was trying to build a website. I was trying to be the copywriter. I was trying to get a client. I was trying to find new affiliate offers, et cetera, et cetera. And you know what? You just can't.
No, you can't do it all.
No, you can't do it all.
The other thing I've observed about your growth, Clint, is that you don't hesitate to go out and find experts to fill in the gaps quickly for you. If you can invest a little bit to speed up the results, you go and do that. What led you to that conclusion?
Years of trying to do everything myself and trying to find freeways online. And, you know, you can go and spend a week trying to sift through crap online, or you can go and spend X amount of dollars and find out in 5 minutes off someone who's, you know, been there, done that, and been successful. So these days I spend a ton of money on getting expert opinion, whether that's from people like yourself, James, through accountants, through lawyers. In any facet of my business, I'm now, as I spend money, or rather invest money, because it saves time and I get expert information immediately. Look, there's a little saying in WA, like when the boom times are here, you know, even taxi drivers are giving out opinions on which stocks to buy in the stock market, and that, you know, and that's the time to get out of the stock market when that happens. So I only take advice of people who are wealthy or are experts in their field and who practice what they preach. I will not go for someone who teaches or sells theory, mate, because I've spent and lost thousands upon tens of thousands of dollars doing that in the past.
So have you got some sort of tips for listeners? What things could they look out for when they're seeking out experts? Because, I mean, it is a crowded marketplace in the internet marketing space. I do get a lot of questions on our podcasts about how do you know what things are good to buy. Have you got like a quick checkpoint?
Mate, referral. So always ask. Now, as you know, you don't ask your friends. You ask people in your industry. So if I want to know something about, and if I'm looking for a new accountant, I would go to business owners who I trust and business owners who are successful, and I would ask them about their accountant. If it was for internet marketing, I would ask internet marketers who actually make money, not ones who want to make money, and I would ask them where they learnt from and who they trust in the marketplace and why they trust these persons in the marketplace. It's the biggest tip I think I could ever get, because I've taken on some bad advice from people in the past, and it's I could have got a lot quicker to where I wanted to go a few years earlier if I'd actually asked for proper advice.
Well, I think it probably helped you recognise good advice better now with that contrast.
Yeah.
So I'm just thrilled for your success, and to have been able to watch it up close for the last year has been a real treat. And, you know, what we're talking about here really is you've created from an idea and some existing resources a business that is obviously going to be worth at least in the seven-figure range, if it isn't already, certainly in the not-too-distant future. So it's just a fantastic achievement. Well done. I would also like to just sort of ask your thoughts on where do you think the market is going and what should people be focusing on right now if they're interested in sharing their internet marketing knowledge with businesses? What things are topical? What would be some final tips from Clint before we close up?
You mean for people who are looking to take on local clients?
Yeah, people, I guess, who are inspired by this, if they think, well, I've got internet marketing knowledge. I now know I need to get good advisors. I need to get the right system. I need to build a team with amazing culture.
Yeah.
And I'm ready to go out and into my local town, wherever that is. And I imagine probably the majority of my listeners are not in Perth. So what sort of things do you think they should be focusing on if they want to implement some of this stuff?
Build a real business. Don't try and do it just to make a quick buck. Care about your clients. Look, if you we've only ever lost one client, and to this day, we still don't know why we lost him. He just disappeared off the face of the earth. Every other client we've had since day one are still with us now. They're well out of their contracts. They just keep paying us month after month. And it's because we care, you know. We look for ways in their business to make them more money. So we find them different revenue models, and they really love that personal attention, which is something like those other companies out there. They don't do. They try and charge, you know, X amount of dollars for 6 months, and they don't do anything, whereas we do. And I know a lot of your people in the Super Fast Results Forum, James, they're the same. They like to value add, and that's what you have to do. You have to value add to your clients' lives, and they will just keep spending money with you. And if they keep spending money with you, then that's a good thing. Now, I'll also throw in here about clients. Painful as some of them may be, once you get over that pain barrier with them and start working with them a lot more closely, and this is something that's brought about a lot of our success in the last few months, and that is beginning to go into certain partnerships with your clients, because they have a ready-made market and usually a ready-made product or service, and you have the skills or the skill set which is probably the hottest skill set on the earth right now, internet marketing skills, if you know what you're on about. So if you can leverage what you know with your clients, then there's a million ways which you could succeed in that you'd never, ever thought possible before, because now you've just got this army of people who you can go into business with. So that's what I'll say on that matter.
That's a huge tip, and I also want to offer a tip too. You mentioned the magic word there, contracts, and like you, I still have my original offline customers, and we're going into our fourth year now, which is pretty cool. And I just want to point out something crucial, which I think so many people miss. When I started those clients off, I put them on a 9-month minimum contract with the option to renew on a 30-day rotating, you know, notice. Either party could give notice with 30 days notice. To date, none of them have ever exercised that, nor me. Now, this is something so many people miss. A lot of people are trying that, you know, sign someone up for a month or for a very short period on a suck it and see basis. And my experience has been that those clients who are finicky, who don't trust you enough to give you a longer term, are probably not your ideal client. Do you have a minimum contract period or any sort of filter like that as well?
Yeah, ours, we always do 6-month contracts. But what we do straight up, we manage a client's expectations from before we take any money off them. And that's, we explain the evolution of SEO. And so that may be the first 2 months they might see very, very little changes in their traffic or their rankings, and then it'll start to happen. So we find as long as we manage the client's expectations properly from the start, they're pretty much a pain-free client. And after those 2-3 months, when all the traffic starts to come, then they're a very happy client, and that's when they will start to go and spruik about you. So in my business here, we don't do any marketing whatsoever, and we only take people now by referral, which is really good. We're in a pretty happy place with this side of the business, with the client side of the business. So, we're pretty stoked right now.
Yeah, that is a huge fact, and it's the same. We've recently changed our minimum contract from 30 days to 3 months for one of our wholesale supply services, and it immediately got rid of the time waster clients, and it actually increased sales from our committed style of clients, because we know that when people start seeing the results at that 2 to 3 month mark, they'll stay for a long time. You've given away some amazing tips there, Clint. Where can people go and check you out if you want people to visit you?
If they want to check us out, they can go to oracledigital.com.au. And, yeah, that's just what we do over here. That's just one of our businesses. But, yeah, if people want to contact me, they can get me through there.
Great. Clint, you're an awesome guy. And thank you so much for putting aside the time and continue that amazing success.
And I'll let me give a shout-out to Silver Circle, mate, while I'm here. No, because without it, I don't know where I would have ended up. You know, you sussed me out early in the piece and said, you know, I'm going this way, I'm going that way. So once I started to focus and brought myself into realignment, that's, you know, some pretty big mindset changes happened. And, yeah, I came out on the better side of things. So, yeah, big shout-out to Silver Circle.
Well, thank you very much. All righty. Well, we'll see you online, and thank you again for sharing with us.
Thanks, mate.
Discover how to build your business
super fast.
Check out superfastbusiness.com.